Welcome to the Dr. John Day Show, a cardiologist's guide to real food, real living, and real happiness. Are you struggling with losing weight, fatigue, depression, or conditions that have you on medications? Is your health good, but heart disease or cancer run in your family? Most medical conditions are reversible or preventable. There is a better way to live. Let Dr. Day help you to feel younger today.
Welcome to podcast number 20. This is Dr. John Day. The title of our show today is Even a Little Alcohol Might Be Dangerous to Your Heart. Before we get started, my lawyer has the usual disclosures he wants me to do. First, I share general information, not medical advice. Second, listening to this podcast does not create a doctor-patient relationship. Thirdly, do not self-diagnose or treat based on anything you hear on the show. Now that we're done with the disclosures, let's get started. Could a recent study that hit worldwide news provide enough evidence to overturn the long-held belief that a little alcohol is good for the heart? According to the Centers for Disease Control, the CDC, 1 in 10 deaths of working-age adults in the U.S. results from alcohol consumption. Despite this fact, many in the medical community have been telling us for years that a little bit of alcohol is good for us as it prevents coronary heart disease, which is basically plaque buildup of the arteries of the heart. Well, what are the effects of alcohol on the heart? And is there a link between alcohol and heart disease? This recommendation to drink a little bit of alcohol did not come from high-quality studies. This recommendation came from observational studies based on how much alcohol people said they drank. So many of us wanted to believe that this vice could actually be healthy for us. So few questioned if these findings were even true or not. This groundbreaking and scientifically rigorous study that I'm about to jump into included 261,991 people, so nearly 262,000 people, and it hit worldwide news demonstrating that any alcohol just might be hazardous to your heart health. So what have been my previous alcohol recommendations to my patients? For years, I've struggled with this alcohol conundrum in counseling cardiac patients. On one hand, alcohol, especially red wine, appeared to be very effective in preventing plaque buildup in the heart. This was the heart, if you never mind the pun there, of the so-called French paradox, where supposedly their red wine seems to protect them from their high saturated fat diet. On the other hand, I have personally seen, and the tragic data shows, that alcohol destroys many families. It results in many automobile accidents. It causes liver failure. It causes cancer. So while alcohol was believed to help prevent coronary heart disease or plaque buildup in the heart, it is also a known cause of heart failure, as well as the most common cardiac arrhythmia or heart rhythm abnormality, which is called atrial fibrillation. So I struggled as to how I could best counsel my patients on the subject of alcohol. How do you weigh the potential benefit of preventing plaque buildup against the fact that it increases your risk of heart failure and atrial fibrillation? So with regards to alcohol and heart disease, my conclusion at the time was to advise limiting alcohol to just one drink daily. If they drank, and if they did drink, red wine was probably the best, as the data seemed to support this the most. This way, we could potentially minimize any negative bad effects of alcohol on the heart. If they did not drink at all, I never encouraged drinking solely as a means to prevent coronary heart disease. Lastly, if they suffered from heart failure or atrial fibrillation, my recommendations were generally that they stop drinking. And these were my recommendations based on the data at the time, and that was all we had. I now advise differently as this latest study provides new findings. So let's jump into this. Could any alcohol be dangerous to the heart? This study is very important in that it is much more scientifically rigorous than the previous studies. The data behind the alcohol recommendation to prevent coronary heart disease, as I mentioned, was solely based on observational studies. What's an observational study? Observational studies really is where you just observe a group of patients and try to see who develops a disease and who doesn't. The problem is there are so many confounding variables. And so you really have to take observational studies with a grain of salt. And could this observational study bias, because often with observational studies, biases enter in that are hard to control for, just because, like I said, there are too many confounding factors. And could the bias that entered into this, of this so-called protective effect of alcohol, this dogma that the medical community has believed for so long, could bias explain why maybe these studies are wrong? And do we need to worry about alcohol and heart disease? So in this study, the first author, Dr. Michael V. Holmes, from the Perelman School of Medicine in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, and his colleagues took a completely different approach. Rather than just observing a large group of people and asking them, how much alcohol did you drink, and then try to correlate who had disease and who didn't, they took a completely different approach. So rather than relying on the subjective recall of the study participants, they looked at whether or not people had the ADH1B gene. So what is the ADH1B gene? Sounds like kind of a bizarre name, but that's often how genes are named in the medical community. Well, the ADH1B gene codes for the alcohol dehydrogenase 1B enzyme. What is the alcohol dehydrogenase 1B enzyme? Well, this is an enzyme which breaks down alcohol in the body. And so people with this gene rapidly break down alcohol. So as soon as they drink, it's like they get this immediate surging effect. So you may have seen these people before. If they drink, they'll get nausea, they will get facial flushing, and they generally just don't feel very well when they drink alcohol. And so as a result, most people with the ADH1B gene, they drink very little alcohol, or they may abstain from alcohol altogether. So in this study, Dr. Holmes and his colleagues had the brilliant idea of, hey, we've got 262,000 people, and it's a big international study. Let's look at all the people with this gene, because we know that if they have this gene, they're probably not going to drink alcohol, or if they do drink alcohol, they're really not going to drink very much. And so let's look at this big population of people and see if people have this gene because they can't drink alcohol because they'll get sick, do they have a better outcome than those people who are able to drink alcohol without getting sick? And interestingly, they found that people with this gene, so basically they can't tolerate alcohol, these people are thinner, so they were less likely to be overweight. Their blood pressure was lower. Their levels of inflammation were a lot lower. They had a lot less heart attacks and a lot less strokes. And so overnight, this study really has challenged this long-held dogma that a little bit of alcohol might somehow be good for the heart. Now I think we have a pretty good idea about the effects of alcohol on the heart. And so once again, just to repeat, people with this gene, they get sick when they drink alcohol, so they're probably not going to drink it. And because they have been, if you could call this, blessed with this I can't tolerate alcohol gene, they're thinner, lower blood pressure, less inflammation, less heart attacks, less strokes. So really quite an amazing finding in this mega study involving many countries of nearly 262,000 people. Well, what's been our experience with alcohol in China's longevity village? This study supports our findings during our stay among the residents of China's Longevity Village. And based on our research in this village, which is a rural mountainous village in southwest China near the Vietnam border, most of these long-life people completely abstain from alcohol. And these people historically were water drinkers. This is mainly because they were just so poor. And if they were going to have alcohol, they had to use a rice wine that they would make. And they were so poor that they just did not have the time to do it themselves or the financial means to purchase this. So most of them just abstained and they just drank the clear mountain spring water. And based on the studies of these long life people living in the villages in and around this longevity village in the Guangxi province near the Vietnam border, 64% of the people completely abstain from alcohol. And they live these amazingly long and healthy lives free of disease. Heart disease, cancer are very rare in these areas. And these people are very lean, they're not overweight. And could this be one among many of potential explanations of why they have such incredible health and longevity? So what are my new alcohol recommendations to my patients? Well, the results of this study involving more than 260,000 people clearly demonstrate that alcohol does not have any protective effect to the heart. And if anything, it just increases heart problems. So in my opinion, given the many tragic outcomes of alcohol consumption, really, the less alcohol we drink, the better. And for my patients who have developed any form of heart disease, I'm now encouraging them to avoid or minimize drinking alcohol. And interestingly, not only is it this study, but there was another mega study that just came out in the July 22nd, 2014 issue of the Journal of the American College of Cardiology, showing that any alcohol can be a significant cause of a dangerous heart rhythm abnormality called atrial fibrillation. And atrial fibrillation is one of the biggest causes of stroke in the United States. So suddenly we've got several lines of data all coming out that even a little alcohol might be dangerous to the heart. Well, what do you think? Is this study strong enough to overturn this long-held belief that somehow alcohol might be protective to the heart? I'd love to hear from you. Please go to my website, drjohnday.com, leave a comment. I'd love to hear what you think about this. And if you're enjoying what you're hearing on this podcast, reading in our newsletter, please share it with your friends. We would love to have more people that have access to the very important information that we share that really can change lives. There is so much that we can do to improve our health and just feel better.
Thank you for listening to the Dr. John Day Show. Now is the time for you to live better. Go to drjohnday.com to sign up for Dr. Day's newsletter, daily success tools, and more. It's never too late to change.